Good morning, One Church. Oh, excuse me. Wasn't that an amazing worship experience this morning? And guess what? There's more coming after this. So I'm going to keep it short and sweet today, if you don't mind, because I believe God can do so much more than just my simple words. But he wants me to bring a word, nonetheless. I'd like us all, first of all, to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. So pull out your iPhones, your tablets, your Bibles. No, pull out the word. Something, you know, I've tried to argue the point that having it on digital is easier and you got more. But there's something about flicking through the pages. Can't explain it, but it's really good. So, Matthew 6:22. Okay, and just to set you a bit of context here, Jesus is actually having a discourse over riches and over possessions. So this is where this is situated, this passage. And so in the NLT, Matthew 6:22 says, "Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your whole body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, then how great or how deep is that darkness?" I like the King James, the old King James version as well. It says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single eye, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Can we just pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you want to do a work in us this morning. Lord, I ask right now, every ear be opened, every eye be opened. And Lord, I just surrender this to you, Lord. It's not about clever preaching or having good topics or anything, Lord. It's about what you want and what you want to say to your people, what you want to speak to us as a church. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us, that you are for us, and you want us to be transformed more and more, to look like you, to walk like you, to talk like you, to love like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, the context here is about possessions and riches, but when he speaks about the eye, what is Jesus actually talking about here? Well, in the Greek, the eye translates the word ophthalmos, which means the eye, or metaphorically meaning the eyes of the mind, or the faculty of knowing. So right now, I want you all to turn to each other and say, "What are you looking at?" Oh, come on, you can do a bit better than that. What are you looking at? We're constantly looking at things all the time, and there's things that grabs our attention and our focus all the time. And so I want to see what we are actually looking at. And as I said, the eye is, Jesus is picturing here, is the mind. But what does it mean to have an eye that is good or an eye that is single? Well, it can mean three things, really. It can mean single-minded, so we're just focused, single-minded. It can mean we're totally dedicated or consecrated. Or it can actually mean that we're generous. And this especially fits in the context here as well. But let's have a look at single-mindedness first. What are we to be single-minded in as the people of God? Well, we're to be single-minded in the love of God and love of others. This is the greatest commandments. And it's a love of God that is above all else to bring him glory. It's not a love to which we love for our own sake, to get our own benefit. I'll love you if you do this. It's not a transactional kind of love. It's a love for his glory no matter what. It's a love for him no matter who he is. And also, what's this love for others? Well, it's the ability to see God how God sees you, so you can see others the way that He sees you. Do you know what I mean? So it means that you can love others the way that He loves you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that's what being having a good eye, or having an eye that is single, means. And what does this mean in this context? Well, it's meaning about being totally focused, singled eye, on the kingdom of heaven, on the kingdom of God, your assignment, what you've been called to do on this earth. And we know this because at the end of the Matthew 6, it says, you know, seek the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. It's in the context there. And what does this mean about generous, being generous? Well, in the context, it not only speaks about a commitment to the kingdom above all else, but also to be detached from material things. To actually become generous is to be detached from those material things. And we know this because the very next verse, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. He either loves one or hates the other. You can't love both God and riches, or mammon, or possessions, or whatever you want to stick there. So, what does it mean then to have a bad or an evil eye? It doesn't mean you're boss-eyed. I mean, you're like this. A bad or an evil eye in this context can mean you're either double-minded, you're full of darkness, which would be the result of a bad eye, or you're delusional. And to be double-minded, we only have to look at James. James chapter 1, and I think it starts from verse 6 to verse 8. But James here is talking about asking God for wisdom, about praying to God for things, right? To give you a wisdom on what you should do. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. And I think the NLT really encapsulates this even better. Because if we're supposed to be a people of faith, if we're supposed to be a people who are not walking by what we see, but by what we believe, what God has revealed to us in our spirit, we can't be double-minded. And not only that, we can't be focused on other things. Because in the NLT it says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. So as the people of God, double-mindedness is not a good thing. It really isn't. You're going to end up frustrated. You're going to end up disappointed. You're going to end up angry with God because why didn't God come through? And the truth is, you're double-minded. What does the full of darkness mean? Well, it can mean that we're self-centered and selfish. When our focus, when our eye isn't good, it kind of drips from Jesus to ourselves. Or even worse, other people. And so everything revolves around us. So you change the words of it all evolves around you to it all evolves around me. Yes, it's all about me. That's what being full of darkness is when you live a life just about yourself. And this leads to delusion. And people think that they're right, but their thinking is unrighteous. You can't argue with these people. They think they're right all the time. And they might be. But the way they're doing it is unrighteous. You can be right, but unrighteous at the same time. But what are some of these things that actually give us bad eyesight? Well, let's just go to the natural. We all have eyes, yes? Robert just looked at me then. It's okay, Robert. It's going to come good. I'm praying for you. I can pray for you later. But Robert would know from eye, there's injury. We can take an injury to our eye. There could be dirt in our eyes, causes infection, or could be disease. When we look at injury, if we apply this to ourselves, maybe someone has hurt you, or your circumstances have gone against you. You could be dealing with betrayal, rejection, loss, disappointment. You can't see past it. It's an injury you can't see past. And as I said before, you may be right and they're in the wrong, but your rightness is not going to produce righteousness. Do you hear me? Your rightness is not going to produce righteousness. That's delusion. So we need to come and bring our injured eyes to the foot of the cross. We need to behold Jesus, who brings healing, who can heal our injuries. Maybe you just might have some dirt in your eye. Maybe it's the dirt of sin. It could even be idols that take all your attention, that you give all your time to. You know, these things are the biggest attention grabbers. See, all this about the eye, the world is fighting for your attention, church. You are in a spiritual battle where the enemy is relentless in flashing stuff before you to get upset about, to get excited about, to complain about, to be like the world just about. I could go on Facebook and just spend all my day flicking through, and it will capture my attention constantly. It's actually purposely geared that way. It's geared that way. And so anything that takes the place of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Him exalted, Him being lifted high in your mind, you being singly focused on Him, is dirt in your eye, is sin. I can't put it any plainer than that. We need to wash our eyes out. It could be disease that we're struggling from. Maybe you're struggling with unforgiveness towards others. Perhaps it could be pride. That is the source of your poor eyesight. The Bible says not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And we have a habit of doing that, don't we? And we compare ourselves to other people. And we make other people Lord instead of Jesus, by what they have or haven't done for us. Basically, if you're looking at anything other than Jesus, becoming like Him and pursuing the kingdom of God on the assignment for your life, you will have bad eyesight. I'm telling you, you will have bad eyesight if it's any other focus than Jesus to actually walk and follow Him. So to know if your eyesight is good or bad, you have to ask this question. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Whatever you focus on is going to fill your body with darkness, or it's going to fill it with light. So how do we keep this eye healthy? You may think that pastors, you know, sit in an office all day and read scripture and pray hours on end and, you know, visit everyone all the time, everything, and, you know. But I want to tell you, we're human just like everyone else. And we too can sometimes lose focus. We too can lose focus of Jesus because you just end up managing things and people and situations. And I believe that this is just as much a word for us as a whole body, including pastors as well. We all need to refocus. We all, because we can just focus on the assignment, but forget the one who gave us the assignment in the first place. And we can become like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, which talks about in that passage in 1 Corinthians, where it says, if you do anything without love, it's nothing. So how do we keep our eye healthy? Plain and simple, repentance. To change our mind or our eye focus back to Jesus. To turn away from those things that have been grabbing our attention. No matter how much they've cost you, no matter who's hurt you, no matter what someone's done to you or what your circumstance or situation is, we have to turn our focus back to Jesus. If we're on Facebook all the time or Snapchat or if we're, you know, watching the latest shows that we know are ungodly, we have to turn our focus back to Jesus. If we have unforgiveness or bitterness, if we have things that of pride in our life and idols that we need to smash down, we have to turn away from them and bring our focus back to Jesus. It's not to focus on what others are doing. It's about what we're focusing on. We don't focus on what other people are doing and tell five other friends. We focus on what Jesus has called us to focus on, to behold him, what Scripture tells us to look at. In Hebrews 12:2, how do we do this? It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. You know, who's driven long distance? Yes. I drove to Kalgoorlie once and back in one sitting. I was like this. And you know, when you're in trouble, when it's the, you know, the vibrating thing on the side of the road, you, windows down, radio blaring. When we get tired, we lose our concentration, we lose our focus. We have to keep focused on Jesus. Plain and simple. Sit at his feet. Become obedient. Listen to him. Apply what he says. You know, I've been praying for our church, and there's been a good many of you praying. So I'm not, you know, saying I'm the only one who's doing it. There's lots of people. And so that's a healthy thing. But the Lord has shown me, especially in the passage, he's given me Revelations 3, 15 to 22, that he's speaking to us. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you do not realize that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me. Gold that has been purified by fire. Then you'll be rich. also buy white garments from me, so we can clothe your nakedness and you will not be shamed. An ointment for your eyes, so that you will be able to see. And I love this part. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. When we lose our focus on Jesus, we become indifferent. We become complacent. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears, he must hear and listen to what the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Our preoccupation with material wealth and comfort have deadened our passions. And we've become complacent. As long as we believe we can meet the need for wealth, clothing, or even sight for ourselves, we can never receive them from Jesus. When we're looking to everything but Jesus, we're not going to receive anything from Jesus. We must seek these things from Jesus instead of upon relying on them ourselves. Jesus is calling us to seek spiritual wealth, forgiveness, resurrection life, and clean spiritual sight. Nathan actually had a word this morning when he came to prayer. And he says, I believe God wants to heal eyes this morning. I was like, amen. We haven't conversed all week, so there's nothing funny going on or anything, but I said, amen. Thank you, Lord. This is a word in season, church. I want you to walk away from this place today and every time check yourself and go, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? When your mind starts to drift on things, what are you looking at? Bring it back to Jesus. Bring it back to Jesus. And I promise you, your whole body will be filled with light. Jesus is knocking and inviting us to come to the altar this morning. Now, I just want to share something because we are going to have communion. But this morning, I was led on Tuesday, actually, to bring 4 bowls of water. This is actually how I pictured it. And before we take communion, I believe prophetically, the Lord wants to clean our eyes. So you can see these eye cotton pads here. When you come and take communion, we're going to play a song as we do this. You're just going to dip in the water and wipe your eyes, okay? And then take communion and just chuck it in the bin down here. And the first person who needs to do this is me. Church, I'm sorry where I've looked at you the wrong way, or have made you the focus rather than Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. And I'm sorry, church, where everything else has become more important than Jesus. So I need healing for my eyes because it is all about Him. And church, for us to be healthy and filled with light and filled with love, we need to be focused on Him. Otherwise, we're just kidding ourselves and we're just playing with religion. And I ain't going to partner with that any longer. So if you want to play that song, Come to the Altar, and then as soon as you feel led, just come up. is when you grab communion, just go back to your seats and we'll take it together as a body.
Father's arms are open wide for forgiveness.
See, I have faith that even just wiping our eyes, yeah, we may think it's just a bit of water and a cotton bud, but it's actually symbolic and it's also prophetic as well. And when I was praying for that water this morning, man, the Holy Spirit was just pouring out. Church, we have clean eyes. Now let's get clean hearts as we just focus right now on communion. Lord, we just thank you so much for your goodness towards us, that you do discipline those that you love. Lord, we need correction because our eyes sometimes just get skewed. And Lord, we thank you that you've come and cleansed our eyes this morning. That you've not only begun the cleansing work, but it's also finished as well. That it's going to carry on. We're going to be constantly be aware of what we're looking at. And what better way to focus our attention is around the communion table, when we can focus on what you have done, Lord. Pierced hands, scourged back, crown of thorns, pierced side, the King of Kings, the most wonderful name above all names, under the weight of all our sin, under the weight of all our wrongdoing. Yet you said from that cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And your body symbolized that this bread was broken so that we could be made whole. So right now, Lord, as we take this bread, make us whole. Please take the bread. On the blood, Jesus, your blood that washed away all our sin. Your blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we need your blood this morning to cleanse us afresh. Cleanse our hearts. Make us spotless as we already are in your presence. Cleanse our hearts with your blood that was poured out. Please drink together. Church, I want to give you one other way that we keep a healthy eye. And we keep a healthy eye through praise and through thanksgiving. By praising God and giving Him all the glory, we set our focus on Jesus. We overcome and we are filled with His light. As Psalm 34 says, "I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak His praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt His name together. I prayed to the Lord and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all those who fear Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His godly people. For those who fear Him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one, that means no one, who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Maybe you need healing this morning. Maybe you need a touch from God this morning. Maybe you need to cry out to God this morning. We've had words of sight being restored. If your eyes need prayer, let's pray for your eyes. We've had a word about necks needing healing. Let's come forward and we're going to praise the Lord and we're going to shout in his victory and we're going to declare his praises. So join with me as we lift up a shout to the Lord.